Seems like it's been ages. How you doing?
It has been an actual age, John, since we last spoke.
I think I have aged.
Wait, you have what?
No.
Oh, it's a weak connection. It sounded like you had something else. But you know what? We're going to stay positive.
I think I stepped on your hard stop for that. Could have been better.
Oh, that's
I
all
think I
right.
blew it. See, my timing's way off. It's been 3 weeks. I'm just, is this a baseball podcast? What are we doing here?
You know what? I think we're going to get to baseball eventually, but really, I think people at this point, they just want to hear about us.
Yeah, what's going on with us? Hear our voices and feel rejuvenated. Yeah, that's a good thing.
Yeah, then we can get into the news and the headlines. But you're
No,
back in
that.
Ecuador, right?
I am back in Ecuador after a couple weeks in production and a week, catching my breath, and now back in the full swing of things in Quito, Ecuador, 10,000 feet above sea level.
So literally catching your breath.
Yeah, literally, yes. Yeah, it's tough when you go like I did from 9,000 feet back to sea level, then back up to 10,000 feet when I return. So it's just kind of like yo-yo.
Yeah, you can
So
get the
it takes its
bends.
toll. Yeah, you could. So this is episode 105 of Foul Territory. I'm John Sumple. He's Jed Rigney.
I am Jed Rigney.
And this is the Big Lebowski episode.
What does that
Number
mean?
five on the.
Oh, okay,
That
right.
means. Yeah. Remember, it's been so long.
I forgot what we were doing with the numbering thing.
We changed our numbering system to coincide with the episode number. So once we got through all the baseball numbers up to 100, we then moved into movies because we didn't want to go through baseball all over again. And Some Like It Hot was 101, Caddyshack 102, Airplane 103, Blazing Saddles 104, and this week, The Big Lebowski is number 105.
Fantastic. Didn't do well at the box office, but has become so far beyond a cult classic. It's actually considered just a great film now, but it also is a cult favorite. They have the Lebowski
Sure.
Fest where everyone dresses up like the dude or Walter, or I guess Donnie sometimes and Jesus.
And even Thor did it.
Is that right?
Thor was played the Big Lebowski character in The Last Avengers.
Oh, yes.
Spoiler alert. The overweight Thor.
Yes.
Did you ever get around to watching that?
I will never get around to watching that one, John.
No.
Though I did just see
Wow.
John Wick 3.
And how was it? We did talk about that, I think, in the last show.
It is an action-packed delight, though I will say the one actress they had in there was some of just a standout, terrible performance.
Oh, great. That's good.
But the action's great. Like, it's like you're in a video game. Like, it's the closest thing to
Sure.
a
High
video
body
game.
count.
High body count, but also like the way you're in a video game environment where you're in an area and you have to move to the next room and
Right.
then there's more fighting in that next room and it's not just the one room that it's a very unique style of filmmaking, even though technically the filmmaking is technically very simple.
Right. It's one a lot of long takes, right?
Yeah, but there's a lot of fighting, like there's a plot, sort of, mostly. But then there sort of isn't really. And like a lot of the sort
But
of
that's
like.
not why people go to see John Wick, right?
I will say, the John Wick 2 was almost devoid of plot. And then, but I liked the plot in John Wick 1. I thought that was. Guy gets his puppy killed. He goes
Yeah,
out for
one was
revenge.
great.
That works for me.
So is this the point where we move to baseball?
I don't know. What else is there, man? I'm firmly set up in Los Angeles now. We don't have
Right.
a carpet. Or much on the wall yet. But that has a
So
lot to do
you
with an
don't
insurance
actually your room
claim.
sounds better.
Yeah, thank you.
It sounds like you're in a good sound what's the word?
Yeah.
Yeah, that thing, like a sound booth feel to it. You used
Just
to have
feel
echoes
free, use the
in a
technical
couple of your
terms, buddy.
places.
Have you I don't know if you've been like paying attention to the world, John, but it seems like every day there's just everyone's screaming about a new thing, and you just kind of wake up and you go on Facebook or Twitter or whatever, and it's just like, oh, what's everyone screaming about today? Okay. And then they basically spend the whole day screaming about it, And then the next day, it's like it never happened, and it's on to the next thing, and everyone starts screaming about something else. It's really, really healthy, and I think it's really going to bring the country together.
Yeah, it's good. And it's really good that we have the media that we can turn to for, you know, that middle of the ground, middle ground, the middle of the road point of view. It's always helpful.
They like to just, you know what the thing is? The media doesn't care about clicks and ratings and stuff like that. What they want to do is just bring the truth to the people.
Right. Yeah. No histrionics.
Yeah.
Straight news.
They have nothing to gain by stoking fights between each side. They have nothing to gain other than millions of dollars and their livelihood. But that said,
and, you know, their brand, it's all about the brand.
And
the individual
transitioning
brand, not
a little
the network
over
brand.
To baseball here. Did you hear about this, the umpires union?
No.
They made a public statement against. Yeah, this is hot news. They made a public statement against the punishment for Manny Machado that he got for allegedly bumping an umpire. And then but they're not supposed to speak out against the punishments. Just like the Players Association doesn't speak out against the umpire punishments, right? It's sort of like this agreed-upon thing. Anyway, so now the MLB is speaking out against the umpires union, which, by the way, guys, let's get your house in order a little bit before we start, throwing stones. Like, for crying out loud, they're looking to replace you with robots. You're so bad.
Yeah, they need to be, pleased with the fact that they get paid the money that they do for working, 5 days a week?
5 days a week. They get vacations during the season. I don't know if you know that.
They get time off. They're not a player. Yeah. Players don't get time off.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Hundreds of thousands of dollars these guys make. Crazy.
One of the things that I should have brought up is that I have not the best connection, Wi-Fi connection. So we've just experienced, and from my point of view, the listeners probably not, I didn't hear Jed other than for about 15, 20 seconds.
That's basically what it's like to be married to me, just so you know.
So let's talk baseball in earnest. Not
let's talk
news,
more baseball.
Old news. Let's talk about some old news, things that have happened over the last few weeks that we didn't get a chance to feast on because there were some things that we were kind of waiting on for quite a while. The Kimbrel and Keuchel signings.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the Bill Buckner death.
Oh, no. That was sad.
That was sad. No, it's that was a terrible joke. I apologize to all the Bill Buckner fans. We've had a lot of stuff to discuss for a good 3-4 weeks now, and it's just some of the stuff we're going to cover, some of the stuff we're not going to cover. I apologize if your favorite story from 3 weeks ago isn't covered, sir. Listening, I assume all the people listening are sirs, ma'ams, for the ma'ams that are out there, madam.
There's some ma'ams. There's
the
a few ma'ams.
People who run whorehouses.
not the ma'ams that we know are listeners.
Right.
No offense.
Yes, exactly.
Do you know that prostitution is legal in Ecuador?
John, I'll see you next weekend.
That's good comedy right there, folks. So let's talk a little bit about, Craig Kimbrel and Dallas Keuchel, because they signed so long ago, they're almost ready to start playing again. I think
they're
both due up this weekend, the latest.
Yeah. Keuchel is supposed to start on Friday, and Kimbrel is throwing relief innings for the Iowa Cubs, the AAA team. So he'll be up momentarily.
I did see that Keuchel pitched 7 innings of 1-hit ball and struck out 10.
Okay.
Which says a lot about the competition that he faced. I think this was his first outing in single-A ball.
Right.
So it's like, wow, he dominates single-A ball. Let's see what happens when he gets back on the bump in the bigs.
I'm going to go out on a limb, John, and say that's not going to be the standard that he maintains in the major leagues.
Yeah, I think it's going to take a month to get back into the swing, but what is that swing for him? He's a soft toster, so.
Right.
It's not going to be anything amazing.
But he's got a solid defense behind him, so, put the ball in play, let them make their outs, and,
The Braves have been a surprise.
Yeah. I mean, they've been good. I mean, the real surprise has been how bad the Nationals have been, because we thought the Phillies, the Braves, and the Nationals would be slugging it out, but it's just the Phillies and the Braves that are slugging it out.
Edwin Encarnacion
Yeah.
Bringing the parrot to the Big Apple.
So now the Yankees have Gary Sanchez, Aaron Judge, Giancarlo Stanton, and Edwin Encarnacion.
They have a few bats in their lineup.
Yeah.
Assuming everybody gets healthy at some point.
Yeah, so because Giancarlo comes up today or yesterday or the day before. Yeah, so it... And then Judge is supposed to be a few days behind him.
And watch, they'll tank with their good players back.
It is one of those things. They could just baseball on themselves and suddenly become a bad team. Their pitching is not amazing, so you might see a bunch of these like 7-5 games, though Tanaka's performance last night was exceptional.
Stellar.
You know, it's interesting. They said it was a two-hitter with 10 strikeouts. It's the first time in like 17 years that the Yankees have had a pitcher go 2 hits, 10 strikeouts.
Wow.
And I was like, I guess the Yankees pitching hasn't been like that amazing, really, if you think about it, over the last 15
years. Since the late 90s, yeah.
Anyway.
We'll see.
But, you know, they got a softball team going on offense. They had to send down Clint Frazier to make room for Encarnacion.
Yeah, I know. That was crazy.
I'm not sure how this team, because also there's Luke Voit, right? Like, Luke Voit's no slouch, and then Gleyber Torres and Didi Gregorius. Like, this is a...
And it's not that Aaron Boone is the master at matchups. So we'll see how this all plays out.
Right.
So let's talk Jay Bruce, traded to the Phillies.
Already injured, right?
Already injured. He got hurt in his second or third game?
I mean, no, he played, I think, like a good solid week before he got hurt. And he was crushing the ball, home run after home run, and really just dynamite performance by him.
And what was the injury?
I think it's like a hamstring thing. I could be wrong.
Yeah, it could be a month. If
you're listening, out, Jay Bruce's doctor, please call us and let us know.
And speaking of being out, Andrew McCutchen, done for the season.
Yeah, terrible.
ACL?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's bad.
I mean, they have a little bit of depth to cover that spot. Their biggest problem, I think, is just their starting pitching. And I thought they should have gotten Kimbrel. Because Hector Neris he's been very good. But they just need a little bit more depth in that bullpen. I don't think the pitching is solid for them. I think their offense is going to be good. Like, it's a stacked offense, but, you know, Rhys Hoskins and Bryce Harper and all that stuff. It's stacked.
they need to flip the switch.
Yeah.
I think they've underperformed based on what everybody's expectations were,
yeah,
especially in that bandbox.
Yeah.
And I think that, fans of the team would probably say, yeah, Bryce Harper isn't what he was cracked up to be. He hasn't done as much as expected.
I mean, he's that guy where, like, I think everyone's kind of thinking he's going to just go off because he has, but...
He'll do that.
I mean, the thing is, what if he just doesn't?
That's a lot of money.
What if he just is, like, a 3.5 win player every year instead of, like, the, you know, 6, 7, 8, 9 win player guy that they're... Everyone thinks Harper can be. And what if he's just like 3.5, 4 for, you know, the next 4 years and then kind of fades out? Like, oh, it's just a nightmare situation for the...
Yeah. Let's see. What else we got here? Padres and Rockies set a... I didn't know about this. Did this happen recently?
Yeah, just this weekend.
This weekend. Okay. Padres and Rockies set a modern era record, 92 runs in a 4-game series.
Yes.
That's crazy.
It was...
That's over 20 runs a game.
It was... So many runs. And I will say, for fantasy baseball, I did have the foresight to load up on Padres and Rockies for that. And I did quite well. Did quite well with it.
You truly did have the foresight to look and say, yes, look, this is a great matchup?
Yeah. I did not think it was going to be 92 runs, but I figured it was going to be, you know, in the 60 area, 65. And that's, you know, when you got a big... Coors Field matchup, you want to just get as many guys as you can sometimes and just put them in your lineup, your fantasy baseball lineup, and just like see all the points come in, all the runs, all the home runs, the RBIs, the hits, the ball keeps landing. I love it.
And that's why you do so well, because you look at stuff like that.
I don't think I've ever looked at a
series matchup.
Yeah, I do look at stuff like that. That's why impressive. I'm in first place in my big money league. Out of 180 teams, so...
Probably in first place in every league.
No, actually, I'm in second place in one league, a first place in the league that you and I in by however many insane amount of points. Yeah. First place in my other league where I'm also first place in the overall. And then in my another one, I'm in ninth place. But that's the team where it's like I had Kluber and Carrasco and Caleb Smith and like everyone's just been injured. And so like it's a point scoring league, so I can't I can't get around.
I was doing well. I moved up from last place up to sixth place, and then I have like eight guys on the IL.
That's right.
So, and I guess this contributed to the Major League Baseball. I guess that would have been last month then?
So that's monthly? This one's a little bit old. The MLB set the monthly record for home runs
for
in May.
The month of May. Maybe broken this month?
I mean, probably, right? Like just everyone's hitting home runs and tons of home runs. And there was that game, I don't know, like a week or so ago. I think it was the Diamondbacks versus the Phillies, where they hit 13 home runs in the game.
That's crazy.
Set the record for one game.
That's not.
It's a lot of home runs. I love home runs and I love scoring, but that might be a little too much.
Yeah, it's like watching a softball game. Yeah. To that point.
It might be a little too much.
Do they put their hats on backwards when they go up to the plate?
I mean, there's a guy drinking beer at first base. You know what I mean?
They do have the Rover.
So they added the Rover.
Right. So you did mention earlier about Bill Buckner passing. I did not know that he was suffering from dementia. I had no idea.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate. That's a sad situation.
Yeah, I was able to jump on the radio with Steve Borstein, our good friend Steve Borstein, Fox Radio, and talk about it the next day. And really what, you know, we talked about the fact that this guy is like, he is known for this one thing that happened, but he actually had like an amazing career. Like, yeah. I wouldn't say Hall of Fame, but like Hall of pretty darn good. And also 20 years.
21 seasons?
21.
Yeah, something like that, yeah.
Yeah, like really, you know, did well enough. You know, and had this one thing that was just awful. And I remember he threw out the first pitch after they won the second World Series. But after the first one, he was still like, screw you guys.
Right.
You guys have been awful to me, to the city of Boston. Because they had been. Because, you know, he's Bartman. He's the reason why. Even though there's, you know, 100 different reasons why. But as I've mentioned before, like, there's nothing so visceral as just watching that ball roll right between his legs.
No, it was brutal.
Like, it's...
But he wasn't the only reason.
He wasn't the only reason, but that's the only one where you can look at it and say, like, well, he should have stopped the ball going between his legs. Right. Like, you can argue that he shouldn't even been on the field. Like, the manager should have had the defensive replacement at first base, but, like, the manager's viewpoint was, well, he wanted him to be out there to celebrate the victory.
Mm-hmm.
But, like...
Well... How'd that work out?
It did not work out, John.
Did not work out well. Were you watching that game? You must have been a youngin'.
No, actually, that was 86, and I became a Red Sox fan in 88.
Oh, so you weren't crying.
I was not crying. I grew up in LA, and that was around the time I started not hanging out with, but spending a lot of time with my grandparents.
Mm-hmm.
Who were the most influential of my sports fandoms. Because I was sort of, I was a fan of sports and I was like, oh, I like the Cowboys and I like the shiny uniform on that team. And
Right, the colors.
Yeah, and then when, you know, I would hang out with my grandfather and he was just like, Red Sox, Red Sox, Red Sox. But also Mickey Mantle, so I also have a soft spot for Mickey Mantle. He's my grandfather's favorite player was Mickey Mantle, so...
He kept that under his breath, right?
No, I mean, he's Rhode Island, so he could have... He's close enough to New York. He was allowed to say it, yeah.
Yeah. You can throw him a bone.
So, but I think everyone loves Mickey Mantle. You know what I mean? Like, come on.
Yeah. Especially as he got older and broke down. And he's a guy that everybody wanted to have a beer with.
Yeah, exactly.
Or 10. Yeah.
And apparently everyone did have a beer with, and that led to further problems.
So I did hear a little bit about this Beltre retirement ceremony, that it was a big deal. Was it a good thing? I really didn't hear any details.
No, it was cool. It was cool. Like, it's a little odd, though, because, like, you look at the Rangers and, like, it's Pudge Rodriguez and Adrian Beltre and Nolan Ryan. I made a joke in our little weekly email that sends out the box score. And it was he joins Texas Rangers legends Nolan Ryan, Pudge Rodriguez, and Chuck Norris. And but yeah, that's it. That's just those are the only three players now with their numbers retired for Texas.
That's it. Jeff Burrows didn't get his retired.
No,
going way back.
I thought thought maybe Palmeiro might, but then he had sort of a messy ending. Issues.
His quote unquote issues.
Yes, and then they just haven't really had like a great. I mean, they've had those three, and then Beltre was just barely there for most of his career.
Mm-hmm.
Barely.
So the big news of the week that I heard about, but I did not hear these details at all.
Oh, yes.
In this next headline. So David Ortiz, shot in a bar, a whole bunch of people arrested, had no idea what the context was other than the fact that he got shot in the back and had to get some pieces of his body removed. But prognosis is looking good. And then I'm reading this and it says there were two cops hired by a drug lord.
Right.
So walk me through this. I need some
news breaks. Some he's been shot. Everyone freaks out. It comes out immediately that the person that shot him is immediately has the hell beaten from him by other people at the club. Like that guy wasn't going anywhere. He was like beaten bloody, which frankly, that sounds fair.
Right. I agree with that.
Right. Like
street justice,
a little street justice. I'm pretty much okay with that. Anyway, so then it started like okay. So then they go to the hospital. They do the emergency stuff. Then of course they get him to an American hospital. And no disrespect to the Dominican, but the American hospitals are better. So they get him to Mass General and immediately send him back into surgery. You know what they're doing there, right? They're just going in to make sure everything's cleaned out.
Mm-hmm.
Everything. Mm-hmm. There's no. They didn't accidentally leave a stapler in there or whatever, right?
Right. Right.
All the, they didn't mistie any tubes or whatever, right? So that gets all straightened out. He's recovering. He's doing well. And then the story starts coming out that some drug lord hired a hitman because they thought that Ortiz was sleeping, having an affair with his wife. And like, I don't know how true that is. And like, of course, that's an awkward moment for him and his wife, if that's true.
Sure.
Because
that's a little awkward.
That's a weird way to find out. And then also, like, if you're the wife, don't you sympathize with the drug lord at that point a little bit? And you're like, yeah, all right, that seems fair. And then is that enough, John, in this society, in this day and age, is taking a bullet through and through enough of a punishment for cheating on your wife? I submit to you that it is.
I don't think so.
A bullet, John.
If he took a bullet for his wife? I would agree.
That would be too much. No wife is worth that. No, I'm just kidding. I'm only saying that because my wife will never hear this. No, but I feel like that seems to be right around fair punishment.
Well, hopefully if there was an affair, both parties will say, yeah, that's reason enough to. But first of all, what is your judgment in sleeping with a drug lord's wife? That's it's a little maybe unless he didn't know.
Right, that's the other question is how much did he know? Did he know that it was like a thing? And then like, I just, anyway.
It sounds like a movie in the works.
It's messy, man. It's messy. It's Big Poppy. Well, like, he's like this lovable thing. But like, wait a second, he's doing what? With who?
Yeah, it's kind of like, Big Poppy, come on. Straighten up.
Yeah, get it together.
Everybody loves you.
Well, apparently some people love him a little too much.
Let's see. Noah Syndergaard to the injured list. What's his ailment du jour?
One of the great, I will say great disappointments of the last couple of years has been Noah Syndergaard not being able to just find that groove because he just keeps getting these nagging injuries. He's got a groin thing right now. This is why I think the Mets can't get out of being a 500 team. They just have too many of these kinds of things. You know, they got Dominic Smith up from the minor leagues, who I always thought was just going to be a disaster, and he's doing good at the plate. He's hitting like 300 with some power, but they got him playing left field. Like that's like having me play left field, which for those of you who don't know, like that's bad. That's slow, and this means more balls are going to drop in. And speaking of balls,
the worst story of the year.
Maybe
the one that makes you wince.
This actually made me wince more than the Big Poppy thing. And this is the one that should have gotten more. Yeah.
Yeah. I refuse to watch the replay. I have yet to see it. I don't want to see it.
Yeah.
Because I would probably be in tears.
The Seattle Mariners, Mitch Haniger, was placed on the injured list. with a ruptured testicle.
And for people who don't know what that means, it means his testicle blew up.
He had a foul ball and it exploded his nuts. Ball
five.
Not
the kind of way that you want it to. Right. That is the worst kind of nut explosion.
Yes. Like when you go to the ballpark and someone's selling nuts, that's one thing.
Right.
But when a foul ball hits you there, that's another thing. There's no vendor.
Getting hit by a foul ball is one thing.
Yeah.
There. Getting hit by a foul ball and rupturing those important parts of your body, that is, it is so wince-worthy. And women, if you don't understand, it's okay. But all the men probably said a prayer that night for Mitch Haniger.
The good news is only one of them was ruptured.
That is good.
Yeah.
So how soon do you return from a ruptured testicle?
Me? Never.
No, Mitch Haniger. Is he on the 60 day?
I think they're doing the old, we're going to wait and see.
We'll wait and see because this is new. This has probably never happened in the majors. But maybe, you know, there's been people who've been dinged pretty good there, umpires included.
Yeah.
But ruptured? Let's move on.
Yeah.
The amateur draft happened a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Not a lot of fanfare because there was not a lot of big names. Kind of dropped off after the first, you know, half dozen picks.
I mean, the baseball does have that disadvantage of, like, all the guys that are coming up, the soonest we're going to see any of them at the soonest is end of next year.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's going on during the College World Series playoffs, and it's all just sort of timed strangely, and it, you know, you and I have talked about this before, how it's a difficult situation. Everything about it is difficult because you have all these logistics, like you have to draft guys and some of the guys are going to go back to college. So that means, right. Okay, so that means the draft has to be before a person would know they're going back to college. So that's before what, September, right? So it has to be before September. And then you have guys being drafted and then continuing to play games for a team that's not paying them. And so you kind of have that, like, God, I really...
That risk factor, yeah.
Wouldn't mind if his team got eliminated from the playoffs here.
Well, you're seeing that in football now, too, is that players are like, well, I'm not going to play in the bowl season because right. I don't want to get hurt. And I get that.
Once they've established their stock,
right.
It's a little bit of a, like, well, it's all free, which, of course, is a scam, by the way, and everyone who doesn't think that...
Right, can, it's know. Not free.
Was it Calipari? And this is basketball, but Calipari just signed an $85 million contract for the next 10 years. $85 million. And the kids that play for him will get nothing. They get, like, they do get free sneakers and some other stuff like that, but only as regards, you know, for playing.
On the record.
Yeah. So, of course, on the record. And then there's the off the record and there's FBI probes. And
right. Yeah. And there's, you know, all the money that's being paid for. By the boosters that no one ever knows about. So.
Yeah. Allegedly, John. Allegedly. Got a lot of allegedlys going on in this episode, yes. Tell you what.
Yeah. So allegedly, Babe Ruth jersey sold for a record $5.64 million at auction, beating the old record, which was a Babe Ruth jersey. Not allegedly.
The greatest player in the history of the sport.
Makes sense.
It makes me think, though, like, 70 years from now, you'll never see a $5 million, well, I should say present day value $5 million.
Right.
Because maybe by then, like, the dollar's worth shit, pardon my language, and it's just like $5 million is like, okay, good, and that's a candy bar.
Right.
Like, well, for $5 million, you can get yourself a Chevy Volt car, or you can make 1 month's rent. I'm just saying 70 years from now, who knows, right? But also I think society. there's more collectors, right? So there's more people collecting these things and more. But this was a game-worn Babe Ruth jersey. I don't know why someone would want to spend $5.6 million. Like, how about this? Buy a new one at the Yankees.com store. Type in code foul territory. Get 20% off. Get it for $120, then donate $5.5 million to, like, homeless shelters or...
Any cause.
Any cause anywhere that would be of help to others.
I didn't hear about this one either. Sports betting could be coming to Wrigley Field, as in like placing wagers.
Yeah, like actually in Wrigley.
Jed Wrigley Field.
Jed Wrigley Field. This is an imaginary land I've created in my head. So in Wrigley Field, Illinois passed a law that said sports betting is legal, and here you go.
So they're going to have betting windows?
They don't know whether there's going to be a sports book or it'll be just like a betting window.
But as long as the players don't bet, everything's cool. Pete Rose.
Well, MLB and the NBA did sign off on this law that got passed. So
yeah, it's nuts. Somebody's going to be making money and they'll get a cut. The leagues,
as long as they get their cut, that's all they want.
Yeah. And any time frame as to when that might be coming?
I have no time frame for you, John.
Okay. Well, we'll keep an eye on that one. Put that one in the tickler file.
You bet.
Okay. Madison Bumgarner gets roasted by Max Muncy twice. Is this a...
Did you see the home run?
I did not.
Okay, so Madison Bumgarner throws lefty on lefty, by the way. Max Muncy launches a Madison Bumgarner pitch into the ocean.
Oh.
Yeah. Must have been McCovey Cove, right?
Right.
And he checked it out. He checked the flight pattern a little bit. And it turns out Madison Bumgarner didn't approve of that. So he started barking at him, and then he goes... So then Max Muncy says, so that's the first roast is the home run. That's why it's roasted twice. Anyway, because it's just an epic blast. And then the second roast is when Madison Bumgarner is stop watching the ball and run it out. He said, if you want me to stop watching it, go into the ocean and get it. Baseball's great. Yeah, and Bumgarner said after the game, they're talking about him being all cantankerous and get off my lawn. And he was like, hey, you want to let the kids play and let everyone bat flip? Fine. Let me play the way I want to play. It's a good point.
Yeah, I agree. And there's nothing wrong with that. And he is a little bit of a, complainer. I don't say complainer, but he's always got that look, that sneer on his face. Like he's ready to, pop someone in the back with a fastball. just because you looked at me funny, kid. So let's move on to the starting nine.
Starting nine, it's been a month.
Is this you're saying in honor of O.J. Simpson, is this a historical moment? Are we 20 years, 30 years, 25 years? Where are we in this?
Get your head out of the Ecuadorian sand, my dude. It's the 25th anniversary of the White Bronco chase.
I have to be honest with you. I did not care about that. I did not follow it.
What?
It happened a little bit. I didn't never watched a single bit of the trial.
I was at a Circuit City with my friend Mike, and we were just staring at all the televisions showing this thing. It was, because also there was an NBA game going on, wasn't there? It was the Knicks versus somebody, Knicks Rockets maybe. Mm-hmm. And this was it was on all these television screens, and it was just... There were just dozens of people in the store just staring at it. It was amazing. It was a touchstone moment.
Years. Yeah.
Yeah. So long. Really fantastic. Anyway, so he decided, O.J. Simpson decided to get on Twitter. So that's good.
But that was a brilliant move.
In honor of the anniversary. Anyway, so he's sort of back in the, back into the cultural thing now. And so I figured I'd do a starting nine in honor of him using nine players with murderer names.
Oh, fantastic.
Allegedly.
Let's hear these. These could be good.
All right, here we go. First of all, easy one. Dylan Ted Bundy.
Easy.
Next up, Adam John Wainwright Gacy.
There you go. Gacy was the one that buried people under his porch, right?
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Yeah, pretty good. Next up, Jackie the Ripper Bradley.
There you go. Yeah,
not a bad nickname for Jackie Bradley, by the way.
I think you should give it to him, yeah. Especially after his performance last year in the postseason.
And the last month, by the way, third highest OPS in the league since the beginning of May. Worth noting.
Noted.
Jeremy Jeffress Dahmer.
Okay. Yummy.
Yeah. Makes sense, too, because Milwaukee, right? Brewers.
Yeah. Connecting.
Yes.
Making me hungry. Getting a little hungry.
What else we got here? We got, Anthony Riz Zodiac Killer.
Oh, that's good. That's my favorite one. I like that. Riz Zodiac.
Next up, Eric Hosmer and Jordan Lyles Menendez.
Oh, nice.
Right?
Eric and Jordan.
That, well, yes.
Or Eric and Lyle.
Yeah, Eric and Lyle Menendez. Sort of spoofed in the Cable Guy movie. Right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. All right, next is Nick Eileen Castellanos. Eileen Wuornos.
Oh, okay. Who's that?
Nick. That's the monster.
Oh.
That's
Charlize Theron.
Yeah, that's right. Charlize Theron. Yeah, that's Eileen Wuornos. Right. So I did Castellanos.
A beauty.
Yes. Well, she gets the Academy Award for looking ugly, right? That's...
No, I mean the actual person.
Oh, yeah. No, she's a looker. Adrian, son of Samson.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. I like the almost an anagram there, right? Because it's son of Samson. Mm-hmm. Anyway, sort of. Clayton Knight Kerstalker.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. And last, definitely not least, Juris Manson Familia.
That's not a nickname you want to carry forward.
No.
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 So that was in honor, quote unquote, of O.J. Simpson.
In honor of his return to the public.
Prominence,
I guess.
Right. To being relevant again.
Will he get verified on Twitter? We don't know.
We don't know. Yeah. But he probably has a lot of people who've been rooting for him. Football fans.
Well, there are some people who think that he is not only not guilty, but actually innocent. But
if the glove don't fit, you must acquit.
Exactly.
And that's one of the things I do remember seeing clips from him. When he's putting the glove on, it doesn't fit, and he's holding it up and...
Yeah.
Turning around to show everybody.
Yeah, practically doing cartwheels like, look.
Right, right.
This is all the proof you'll ever need.
None of that other stuff matters. Just this. Okay, let's move on to Around the Horn.
Yeah, let's do it.
As mentioned earlier, we're going to go through every team in the league. Jed's going to give us his off-the-cuff feedback on each team on whether or not they're getting worse, better, or the same.
Right.
So let's do it.
Lay it on me.
Padres.
Okay, so the Padres had a little bit of a good spike, but this is a mediocre team. But man, they got so many nice pieces. They're really built for next year. I could see them trading off someone like their closer, Yates, just because closers are so valuable. You can get so much back. But also, they still got some control on him, so maybe they keep him. But anyway, Padres, I think you'll see them wind up being around 500 at the end of the year.
About the same.
I mean, they could go on a run, but they just don't have all the pieces. But they've got some really exciting pieces. Manny Machado, of course. Tatis Jr. has turned out to be, a real exciting guy. Renfro's on a bit of a heater right now. He's got something like 25 home runs. They have a little bit too many corner outfielders and not enough center fielders. So they'll have to figure that out at some point. And then they still got some other hitters coming. Catchers, they brought up Mejia. Brought Mejia back up, hoping that, because their catcher situation has been grotesque.
How about the Dodgers?
Well, the Dodgers are the best team in baseball. I think that the only reason why they have a record is the same as the Astros is because of Joe Kelly. Joe Kelly is personally responsible for, and it's hard to say one person's responsible for a loss, but he is personally responsible by himself for four losses.
Wow.
Rarely do you see a team pay someone $10 million a year to make them lose four games in the first half of the season. But the Dodgers have pulled it up. I think it's like, like on stock cars, they have regulators.
Regulators, right.
Yeah.
Right.
So they're just trying to make sure the Dodgers don't run away with it and look ridiculous.
So Joe the regulator Kelly?
Yeah, basically.
How about the Giants?
The Giants are a bad, bad team. And they should probably actually be worse than they have been. And maybe that's just Bochy doing his thing, or maybe it's their home park thing. But they really should have about four more losses than they do. But just that is the worst team in the NL West.
How about the Rockies?
The Rockies are the Rockies.
The Rockies are going to get a run. They'll be one of the wild card teams. That's my gut.
I mean... I don't think it's going to be that hard for a team to be the second wild card. I think right now you're looking at Dodgers, Braves, Brewers, Cubs, and then you have basically the Phillies. I think the Phillies are better than the Rockies. But, you know, they could... If the Phillies don't get their stuff together, then that's where it's going to come. But I think basically you're talking about Cubs win the Central, Brewers wild card, Braves win the East, Phillies wild card, or Rockies. And then the Dodgers are just going to continue to run away with the West. Mm-hmm. Unless Joe Kelly, you know.
Right. Steps in.
Yeah.
They'll put him in all the key critical postseason situations. See what he can do. D-backs.
They actually have a pretty good team, but it's a little flukish, and I think that it's unsustainable.
Streaky, too.
Yeah, streaky.
Win a bunch, lose a bunch.
But their run differential is actually pretty good. And,
yeah, it's really good.
And actually indicative of a much better team. But, you know, it's hard to say with just 80 games in the book, or 70, 80 games, where it's like, well, run differential's valuable, but not completely determinant of their actual skill level. But that's a good team. They got some good pieces, and I think they were smart to get rid of Goldschmidt when they did. I think they got good pieces back for him. Mm-hmm. Luke Weaver was quite good until he hurt his arm, and he might be Tommy John surgery, but it might not be. So
Astros.
Well, that's the best American League team, and they just brought up Yordan Alvarez, who's immediately hit 4 home runs in 5 games. They have the best pitching. The full 5 starting rotation spots are still a little up in the air, but
come postseason, you only need 3.
Yeah, and they can always just trade. You know, they can always they get so many things in the minor leagues. Not even talking about Kyle Tucker here, but just so many guys that probably will never see the light of day in the Astros organization because they're so deep with prospects. So
Angels.
Well, the Angels are a 500 team. Like we thought they would be. They had some injuries, and I think they're just going to wind up staying a 500 team. I know Justin Upton just came back, but, you know, he'll only play 5 out of 7 games a week, or, you know, 4 out of 6, whatever, as his turf toe continues to heal. Joe Adell is looking very good. He's recovered from his injuries and is looking very good in the minors, so that you could see him come up. But then you have starting to have that logjam of, like, well, where does he play if Calhoun's okay? And, you know, you've already got Pujols and Boer and Otani handling first base and DH. Then what they really need is like a good third baseman. Eh, missing a lot of parts and the starting pitching leaves something desired. But Griffin Canning, as I mentioned earlier in the year, this was their top pitching prospect, and he's looked really good.
Rangers.
This is one of the surprise teams, right? Like, honestly, I had no idea till about a week ago that they had a winning record. They're 6 games over 500 right now, with a plus 39 run differential, and their pitching seems like it's smoke and mirrors, but the underlying numbers are kind of good. But it just doesn't seem like Lance Lynn and Mike Minor and Adrian Sampson can keep that going. It just doesn't seem sustainable. So, sustainable. But that might just be one of those baseball things where it just doesn't seem that way, and it is. So
A's.
The A's have been disappointing. They should have a better record than they currently do, I think by a few games, and they... You know, they have their pitchers coming. They got Luzardo supposed to be coming soon. But their starting pitching has been, you know, they have a lot of these non-strikeout pitchers. And I think the league has proven that you need to have strikeout pitchers.
But they're due for their 15-game win streak. So
I mean, they have a winning record. They're a game over 500. And if they do a winning streak, then boom, they're the wild card.
Back in. The disappointing Mariners.
Yeah, weren't they, what, like 10 games over 500 at one point?
They're 13-2.
They're 13-2, and now they're 14.
With a plus 59 run differential.
Yeah, and now they're minus 70.
Yeah.
It's a bad team, and they're trading off parts, and they keep scoring a lot of runs, though. Like, they've scored the second most in their division, and I think the fourth most in the American League, if I'm not mistaken.
No pitching.
Nope. The third most, I'm looking right now. Third most in the American League, the Seattle Mariners. But they've also given up more runs than by about 100. And, John, I don't know if you're keeping track, but 100 is a lot of runs.
That's a lot of runs, yeah. Pirates.
Pirates are a little bit of an enigma. They have some really great pieces. Josh Bell has turned into an absolute monster at first base. But there are, you know, injuries and... Pitching. They just don't have it this year. I think they're going to wind up there's nothing really much for them to trade. Certainly, I think after last year's trade where they traded for Chris Archer, giving up Tyler Glasnow and
Meadows. Yeah, that was a one-sided trade.
Oof.
Bad.
I mean, I think a lot of people would have thought that Meadows for Archer was lopsided. Mm-hmm. But Meadows and Glasnow, like, and of course, the Glasnow, for Glasnow, it worked out great because the Rays made an adjustment to his pitching and he became great. And then, well, he's had some injuries that he's still dealing right. with, but maybe because of the adjustment, frankly, you never know. Pitcher throws a certain way for 10 years and then goes to a new team and they say, throw it this way.
Do it this way. Yeah.
It could, like, yeah, okay, you get a better spin rate, but guess what? Now I don't have an elbow.
Right. Cardinals.
The Cardinals, I think, are not nearly as good as the fans would want them to be or that they kind of think that they could be, but they're kind of where everyone sort of thinks they should be. You know, like, their bullpen's not that great. Their starting pitching's not that great. Their offense is good. But if you have so much that's not that great, then you're just going to be not that great. And they're not that great.
Cubs.
Well, as I said at the beginning of the year, they would wind up at the head of the division. They're a half game behind now. They started off really slow, but that team is just too solid to not be in the playoff hunt. Mm-hmm. The offense is stacked. They play very good defense with the exception of Schwarber. And the pitching has been good. It's been, even Darvish has been good. Not great, but good.
Brewers.
I mean, they're a weird team because they only have a plus 10 run differential. They should be like 35 wins, 36 wins, but they're at 40. They're having trouble with their starting pitching as well. Their bullpen is back to being solid, and the offense has been a little streaky here and there, and they're trying to sort that out. And of course, they had Keston Hiura up, who was great, but bad at defense. Mm. So when Travis Shaw came off the injured list, it was like, well, we're going to bring the veteran up and. But it looked like Keston Hiura was there to stay. Like a few home runs, stolen base, RBIs, batting average, all the things you want, except for bad defense. So he's probably a DH in some future team, but they'll find a way to get him at second, I think. I mean, if Michael Chavis can play second base for the Red Sox, then Keston Hiura can play second base for the, you know, if Shaw can't hit.
How about the Reds?
The Reds are the unlucky team. They have a losing record and a positive run differential. They have some good starting pitching and some terrible starting pitching. They have what looks like a stacked lineup, but then Puig has been underperforming. Votto has been so disappointing. And you hope it's not like the end of times for Votto, but those kind of look like it.
Falling off a cliff, yeah.
Yeah.
Tigers.
The Tigers, now that is another very bad baseball team. And this is part of the, we'll get to the Twins shortly, but this is a division that has three not good teams. And it's the only division that has three not good teams. And the Tigers don't
have...
One
of the teams that was supposed to be good is not that good.
Exactly. And they're not that good. So they have right. three not goods and then one not that good. Yeah. But I think the Tigers, if I'm not mistaken, no, Baltimore is the worst run differential. And Tigers are the second worst. So as bad as Kansas City has been, the Tigers have been comparatively just even worse.
But the Royals and the Orioles make the Marlins look great.
Yeah, like, I mean, I would still say that Kansas City is actually a better... I mean, I think that if... Honestly, I hate to crap on Ned Yost because, like, he won a World Series and I didn't. But I'm just saying, like, he won a World Series. You know what I mean? Like, right. But... This team should have 30 wins. Like, this is a team that could be, I'm not saying in the hunt, but just like, just not in the basement. And he had just trouble with the pitching and the who's the closer and what are they going to do with that? And both those teams, the Tigers and the Royals, I think are going to battle all season for worst in that division.
What about the White Sox?
Now, the White Sox seem almost like a 500 team, and you got Dylan Cease coming in the minors. And he's at AAA now, and they think he's going to be coming up shortly. And Eloy Jimenez finally started hitting. And so you have a lot of really good pieces, and you wonder if they'll kind of keep it together just to try to not have a losing record. I know that doesn't really amount for anything, but it kind of does a little bit, you know. If only just so you don't have one of those things like the Pirates where they were like 22 seasons without a winning record.
Right. And then the Twins, the surprising Twins.
Twins, I think it's the... basically the best offense in baseball right now. Like home runs after home runs after home runs. Yeah, more runs than the Colorado Rockies, despite the Colorado Rockies having Colorado to their advantage. It's a powerful offense. We talked about the possibility early in the year that they could have a stacked offense. But their defense has been good, too, and their pitching has been Odorizzi and Kyle Gibson. We knew Berríos was going to be great because he's great. But Odorizzi and Gibson have been very good, plus 114 run differential. That's
that
awesome.
Definitely helps. Let's move to the NL East, the Braves.
Okay, so the Braves are a very good team. I still think they should have gone for a closer, but maybe they can trade for a closer. Maybe they could trade for Cleveland's Brad Hand. You know, like, cause once Cleveland's kind of like, oh, you know what? This isn't our year. But they really need some of that back-end help. And the fact that they haven't addressed it yet, remember, because July 31st is the only deadline.
Right.
There's no two deadlines this year. So they better start thinking about it because they need to. That is a severe weakness on this team. And, like, they have a good enough team that if you get in the playoffs, they could make a run. So why not prepare for that?
Mets.
They are currently, what, four games under 500? Maybe should
be. Every time they get to
six.
500, they lose three or four in a row. So they're like one of those, they tease the 500 mark.
I mean, Pete Alonso has been great. Dominic Smith has been better than I thought he would be. Of course, they're putting him in left field. So now they have basically a DH playing left field. So, and it's kind of a mess lineup-wise. And Robinson Cano is injured and then uninjured and then injured again. And Wheeler has been very disappointing for them. Syndergaard, disappointing. And by the standards that we have. And DeGrom has been disappointing. So it's kind of like the one thing we thought was like their lockdown solid thing. Also, Edwin Diaz has been disappointing. So I don't know what's going on with that pitching staff, but it ain't bueno.
Phillies.
I don't know what they're going to do about center field. Like Roman Quinn, like they bring, let him take a shot out there. Good at defense, but not a lot of offense there except for maybe stolen bases. If you're in a fantasy league and you want to get some stolen bases for a little bit, he's probably going to be the guy for a while. But yeah, that's a weird team. Like Harper hasn't gone on a run and, you know, McCutcheon out for the year. It's, I don't know. I feel like they're the better team. But then when you sort of look at them, it's like maybe they aren't the better team. Maybe that's just like a weird feeling.
Kind of like a rash.
Yeah, basically.
How about the Nationals?
Now, this is the, I think, the most disappointing team. They have a plus one run differential. Scherzer and Corbin and Strasburg have been fine, but not great. The defense has been not great. And by that, I mean not good, meaning what we say in the business, bad. Injuries here and there, and they just haven't been able to get that groove going. And I think there's a certain, I don't know, maybe Harper leaving wasn't so great for them after all, even though it looked at the first couple weeks like they were just going to not miss a beat without him. So
then we have the Marlins. My Marlins, how about them?
What the Marlins are one of the few teams in the league that have been basically exactly what we thought they would be overall. But I will say, I love their pitching.
Yeah, they have good pitching.
Sandy Alcantara, Caleb Smith. Caleb Smith is the only player that I have on every one of my fantasy baseball teams. I went into this year just like in love with that lefty, that fastball leftiness. So good. He'll be back soon. Then you got Sixto Sanchez coming, and then there's another guy they just brought up, and then there's Zach Gallen is the guy who's blowing everybody away in the minors, and they're trying to figure out the right time to bring him up, which is probably after Jose Urania gets traded, you know, to some contender who just needs an innings eater.
He is an innings eater.
I mean, the offense is still just gross, and, you know, it makes you kind of like, oof. But, you know, the Marlins have allowed some of the lowest amount of runs in the league.
Just not scoring.
They're just not scoring. They're just off. And so it makes you wonder whether they should look at maybe doing a challenge trade, you know, like a prospect pitcher for a prospect hitter kind of a thing. But
Right.
At a certain point, you probably do have too many starting pitching prospects. At a certain
Red Sox.
World Series champions. Flags fly forever.
they have had a nice little run going on though.
Since the first 20 games of the year, there's something like 10 games over 500. So this is a This is the good team. They still have trouble with the closer position, but the pitching has been solid. The managing has been solid, and the offense has been quite good. I think they have the most runs in the American League East, but also they've given up a lot of runs. So, but not the most, only, you know, third place. So I don't know. I'm not so sure they make the playoffs this year, but I still feel confident they'll make the playoffs somewhat.
The Yankees.
Well, I mean, that's the best team in the American League East. They just added Edwin Encarnacion. It's a very right-handed lineup that strikes out a lot, and I feel like the Astros would absolutely exploit that. I don't feel like the Yankees are building themselves to beat the Astros. I feel like they're trying to beat the Red Sox, which is the third best team in their division, which is weird.
Right. Yeah, I think it's more a matter of getting everybody healthy. That's really what their number one objective is, to see what happens. And if they can get everybody healthy by the end of this month and have a month to assess before the trade deadline, they may be acquiring some of these assets so that they can move them to get other pieces.
Yeah, possibly. They there's an article up on our site right now basically about how lucky they've been with all the injuries. Mm-hmm. But mm-hmm. they've only had to play 22 teams with a winning record. Like, that's nuts.
It's working so far.
So, like, you know, it's like
you got to beat
like,
the
wow,
teams
this,
you're supposed
this.
To beat.
No, exactly. You can only play the teams that they tell you to play. You can't pick and choose. Right. But if there was ever a time to lose all of your top players or most of your top players, it's when you're only facing crappy teams.
Right. How about the Blue Jays?
The Blue Jays have no pitching, but that offense is starting to, you know, Kevin Biggio and Vlad Jr. and. It's getting a little exciting. They got Biggio playing right, a little right field, a little second base, a little right field. Rowdy Tellez kind of showing some signs of life here and there. Jansen's been a bit disappointing. A lot. Mm-hmm. But maybe he'll come around. But they got a lot of really nice pieces, and they got more coming, too. They got Jordan Groshans coming. They got Bobichette coming.
Should be up, too.
Yeah. So
these guys will be up before the end of the year. And
I think Bichette for sure. Though they might do a Guerrero Jr. thing on him where they just like it gets to a certain point where they're just like, no, we'll just bring him up next year.
Yeah.
And a couple of good starting pitching prospects, Nate Pearson. We're looking at some. I mean, I think they're going to be just a nice power hitting team in the American League. Basically, what this is if you're doing fantasy baseball dynasty, right? Like keeper leagues. Like, don't bother with any American League pitchers. Like, get Chris Sale, and that's basically it. Like, everyone else is just going to get pounded into the ground by the Blue Jays and the Rays and the Yankees. Like, just – and the Red Sox. Like, these are all high-scoring teams. They're going to be high-scoring teams for years. You know, stock up on American League Central pitchers.
Orioles.
Oh, we probably could have just skipped them. Is that the worst team in baseball? I mean, they started off the first couple weeks. They were actually kind of doing all right. But that's the worst team in baseball, I think, right? No starting pitching. No relief pitching. Offense is...
Nothing really to get excited about now or in the near future.
I mean, they have a couple guys coming, like Austin Hayes and Yusnel Diaz.
They got to do a lot of retooling.
Ryan Mountcastle, but they are so far away, man. And the DL Hall is kind of exciting down the minor leagues pitcher, but, man, they're so far away. That team is just...
Buck Showalter is like, thank God I'm not there anymore.
I know, right? Oof. Yeah.
And then one of the better teams in baseball, last but not least, the Rays.
The Rays, we talked about this at the beginning of the season. They looked like they had the things. They got all the things. They're doing a lot of platoon splits, lefty versus righty. Doing all the things. They got young players. They got young players coming. They got minor league stockpile. They got guys coming in the minor leagues that could help them out. Might bring them up, send them down. They're doing what a team with no budget should be doing. And they're a very, very good team. I think they wind up winning the division.
Yeah, I think they've got the best team.
Yeah.
You know, top to bottom. The Yankees have the best power, mediocre pitching, good bullpen.
Yeah.
But... the Rays.
But not that
solid.
Dominant bullpen that everyone was afraid. No. Just like really good, but not like, wow.
Right. It's going to be interesting to see how that plays out, because one of those teams is not going to make the wild card.
Well, they could both make the wild card.
They could.
It's not like Cleveland's going to take it.
No, I think that the Rangers are going to be on a run, and you'll see them make the playoffs.
Well, that's very generous of you, John.
Or the A's. The A's still have that 15-game winning streak coming, so we'll see. That wraps up around the horn, a lengthy around the horn.
Yeah, but you know what? Everyone needed it. Everyone's listening to this.
They're
like,
you know, we haven't heard you guys in a while, so.
We are saturating them.
Right.
With baseball. Right.
So let's move on to extra innings and taking a look outside the world of baseball. We had some final wrap-up in the NBA and Stanley Cup.
Yeah.
Pretty darn exciting, both series, especially Stanley Cup.
Well, let's talk Stanley Cup first. That was a Game 7 in Boston.
Yeah. It was a, the St. Louis Blues played that one to perfection because they won 3 of the 4 in Boston.
Yeah.
And that was kind of like their game plan, I think, going in.
Well, honestly, like as a Boston fan myself, I didn't mind seeing a Boston team lose.
Yeah, I think Boston fans thought for sure after that blowout win in Game 6 that they were going to take it piece of cake in Game 7.
Yeah.
It and just, if you're a Blues fan.
Boston just doesn't need it. You know, it just doesn't need it. And it was nice for St. Louis, and what a great win that team hasn't won
story.
In 40 years.
Yeah.
And that's one thing that the NHL has really going for itself the last 10 years is
everybody's got a chance.
Everyone's been getting theirs, right? Like the Kings got theirs. The Bruins got their first in 40 years. And the, you know, like all these teams who haven't won in years or had never won, the Capitals. Now the Blues who hadn't won in forever. It's good. It's good for their sport.
Yeah, and it's great when the best team in hockey that dominated the whole season loses in the first round. Kind of opens it up for everybody else.
Yeah, I mean, hockey's always been sort of that way, right? And I think the Blues set the record for being in last place furthest into the season and then winning a Stanley Cup. So good for them, and it's a great thing about hockey.
It's a great story, yeah.
And I think that relative to the regular season, hockey is probably the playoff hockey is better. I don't know what I'm saying. Who cares? You know what I'm saying. Playoff hockey is great.
Yeah, and if you get into the NHL playoffs, you have a chance to win.
Yeah.
And that's the great thing about it. You can't say that about any other sport.
Yeah.
Then we move on to the NBA Finals, where the Golden State Warriors, people are talking about the end of their dynasty because two of the greatest players in their franchise history go down to season-ending this year and next year injuries, which is brutal.
Now, is Clay out for next season, too?
He will likely be out for the whole season next year.
Oof.
Brutal.
Awful. Kevin Durant with the Achilles rupture. Oh, man.
Well, and both of them were free agents going into this offseason.
Oh, no. I knew KD was. Yeah, because it was like, where is he going to go? Is he going to go to New York? And like, well,
right.
Mass General looks like.
But was Durant an opt-out or was it at the end of his contract? I don't remember.
I thought Clay, I think KD was the end of his contract, and I think Clay was an opt-out.
Yeah, that's brutal. And Thompson was having an awesome game,
and
an awesome series, and then he gets hurt in that game. And what a trooper to come out and sink those free throws so that he had the chance to come in later. But, you know, he did that on a torn ACL, so that was brutal.
Yeah.
Brutal. But how did your parents handle that loss?
Honestly, they haven't spoken about it.
Oh,
and I'm not bringing it up.
you kind of can't feel bad for Warriors fans. 5 years in a row to the playoffs, 3 wins. They're going for the three-peat.
Yeah.
You know.
They had a great run, and they might get back again, you know.
Well, with these big injuries to the Warriors, before the big trade happened this week, the Lakers were listed as the favorite to win the Western Division, which is crazy.
I think that's because the odds makers were thinking that the Lakers were going to do something crazy, like trade for Anthony Davis, trade two of my favorite players for her, and a fourth, was it the number 4 pick or the number 5 pick?
That's
a hell of a Herschel Walker trade. That's a hell of a Herschel Walker. It looked a lot like a Herschel Walker trade. Like, okay, that worked out terrible for the Vikings. Let's hope that. And he's only guaranteed a year there, right? Because he's technically he could leave as a free agent at the end of the year, right?
Wow, that was a lot to give up. But I think that the thing there is that whenever LeBron has a, he needs two good players.
Yeah.
You know, he never really had that in Cleveland, although, I mean, they kind of stole that one, but, you know, being down 3-1 and coming back and winning that series, that was just, he didn't step on the throat, Golden State, but he didn't have that two complementary pieces. He still needs another one, I think, in Los Angeles for them to be truly the dominant team. If they get another player through
I think they have room in the budget, right? Don't they, with the cap and all that stuff?
So we'll see. Two of their prospects, though, are gone.
Yeah. But they kept Kuzma, who was a second-round find, and that worked out kind of well for them. But they lost, got rid of Lonzo Ball. I'm actually glad they got rid of Lonzo Ball just because I love that that happened to his dad. Like, it's just nice to see, you know, you want to see good things happen to good people and bad things happen to bad people. So it was nice to see.
And his thing was that he was happy that the trade happened.
Yeah.
That's his public face.
That's his new statement. But someone released video of him the night it happened, and he was just like at some tournament or something like that. He did not look super happy.
No. And
now he's like, this is what I wanted. This is.
Right. Because he had said earlier it would be the biggest mistake the Lakers ever made if they traded away Lonzo.
Right. Yeah. And now he's saying that he was just playing chess. So.
Right. Yeah, we'll see. So what's coming up next?
Find out which players are using what kind of baseball gloves on If the Glove Don't Fit with host O.J. Simpson.